All he needs with us today. All he needs, Kaipara, that is. I don't know why I decided to sing you as a welcome to our program, sister. 100 days to go before the Olympic Games in Paris. And this week, King Tuhaitia Putato Te Whiro Whiro gave his blessing to the new Olympic kākahu, which is going to be worn by the New Zealand team flag bearers. There are two of them now. And yesterday, the athletes gathered on the water's edge at the Waitemata Harbour to place a fern frond in a basket, which was then placed in the sea. The silver fern's a symbol, of course, of New Zealand guiding our tupuna. And this year, it's going to be used to guide our Olympic team to Paris. Orini is the Pōwhiringa Māori Culture Lead for the New Zealand Olympic Committee, and she's kindly with us today. Orini, kia ora anō, hoki mai.
Morena, I'm just trying to
Morena, Morena,
Morena Dale, husband.
Tēnā koe, thank you. Oh, gee, it's the first time I've been sung to on my own show. Look at that. It's lovely. Hey, Morena, this is quite neat. I'm hoping you're going to Paris as well. Will you be?
I am going to Paris.
Have you been to Paris before?
I have a holiday. I've been there once before, and it was just a couple of years ago, actually. It was to MC the launch of the Decade of Indigenous Languages, UNESCO kaupapa. I had the honour and privilege of going along with Te Tauira Whiri and Te Mā Tāwai, actually.
Tēnā koe. You know, at a time when we're sort of witnessing a political squeeze on kaupapa Māori and some who want us to all wear the same kākahu, it was interesting that the Olympic Committee and yourself decided to take the kākahu to King Tuhaitia for his official blessing. What was behind that decision, Orini?
Definitely not politically motivated, Dale. In fact, the motivation really was our kuia, the Olympic kuia. Well, that's not her official title, but, you know, you and I and most Māori would agree, you know, kuia, the kuia Morihu of our kaupapa. She's been with the NZOC for more than 20 years, but 20 years ago, and sorry, before I carry on, her name is Rānui Ngāri Mua, a master weaver, one of the very few master weavers across Aotearoa at the moment. But 20 years ago, she, alongside Te Aue Davis, the late Te Aue Davis, created the first korowai, or kākahu, for the NZOC, and that's Te Mahutonga. So this is, you know, this has been a 20-year journey. She requested that we follow a similar process that she did when Te Mahutonga was completed. She and Te Aue Wāna Davis, a few pō Māori who helped guide and lead and establish tikanga and Māori culture within the Olympic Committee. They took it to that particular kākahu, to Te Ariki Nui, Te Atairangi Kāhu, to ask for her blessing. And in that blessing, they asked for her to name the kākahu then. And so she gave it the name Te Mahutonga Te Atairangi Kāhu. And so we wanted to follow, honour Whai Rānui, honour that history, honour our relationship with the kingitanga that was first forged 20 years ago by asking Kingi Tuheitia if he would bestow his mauri and his mana on the kākahu, knowing that it is a one. If you know, I rate it a kākahu, korowai, as one of the most you know, chiefly taonga that any one person or one whānau hapu iwi marae could own. You know, because it's that intricate, it's that special, and you know, for many of us, it was reserved, really one of those, you know, reserved for only the chief of the whānau. Yeah, so that's kind of the symbolism we hold dear to for Te Mahutonga and this new kākahu. Mā te kaiarahi, mā te tangata, you know, toa o ngā toa tērā o ngā kākahu e mau. So it's only fitting, it's befitting that it's, you know, it's blessed by the son of the former monarch, Māori monarch, and it's a beautiful gesture, and not just a gesture, but an acknowledgement, a real tangible acknowledgement of our when I say our NZOC and Te Ao Māori, you know, willingness and ability to unite, to work side by side, And to bridge a really huge gap between, you know, race relations, he tohu e mahi tahi ana e tāna e tātou te Māori, me te Pākehā te mahi tahi, me te whakanui te kaupapa. Now, beyond that, that 20-year journey, it wasn't just the relationship that was created between us, between the Olympic Committee and Suranga Waiwai Kingitanga, but of course it was the beginning of the Olympic Committee's formal inclusion of Māori culture. So, you know, beyond our korowa, it's the Māori, we have a Māori stone, Pūtangata te ingoa, but that pōnamu, that piece, beautiful piece of pōnamu, was gifted not to keep, but gifted to the Olympic Committee by Ngāi Tahu. So we've been for a while now, and it started long before any of us who are there now, with the likes of Amstaredi, Dallas Seymour Ma, and Trevor Shaler kicking off those important works for us to be able to continue and progress it 20 years after. That was a really long, long spiel, but that's the context of why we went to Tūranga Waiwai, was to reignite a relationship, a really strong and powerful relationship with Te Kingitanga, the head of Te Kingitanga, and to really do what is tika, according to our tikanga, Māori, and that's to ensure that the integrity, the mana and the prestige of our new kākahu, both our kākahu, is upheld to that level of excellence, because we've got the Paris Games coming up, as you mentioned, and, you know, the IOC, or the International Committee, a few years ago had amended the rules, I believe, that for every opening and closing ceremony, every country now needs two flag bearers, a male and a female. So that's really what it's about. We created, commissioned the creation of a new kākahu to be dedicated to one of the two flag bearers now that'll lead our New Zealand athletes at the Olympic Games.
Tēnā koe, Orini. Thank you for reminding us of Amster and Dallas and Trevor, because at that time, this taha Māori was... it seemed to be one of the real boosts for our Olympic team. Each were gifted a piece of pōnamu. Each were a member of the Olympic team 20 years ago, were reminded of the haka and its role within Tāo Māori. And we saw a tremendous display of pride and taha Māori and haka to tautoko performances, and plus, of course, the beautiful pōnamu that you reference outside the New Zealand part of the Olympic Village was something quite unique. And if we recall too, Derek Lardelli's huge draped flags, all of them depicting the fern in some way. I mean, it was a very strong statement about our cultural intertwining in Aotearoa, and it was noted by other nations, some sort of a bit jala, I guess, about Lole Orini. So it's really neat that this has been organised, and we've got the dual flag bearers. It'll be a real honour for those eventually chosen. When are they going to be named?
That happens shortly before the opening ceremony, so not until we get to Paris and we settle into Paris will we know who the two flag bearers are. So the opening ceremony is on the 26th, and I believe it's around the 24th or the 25th mark. Might even be on the eve of the opening ceremony, which in Paris is a nighttime event. So, you know, we're not leaving it to the last minute, but we are in a sense, and that's really to build... you know, build the excitement, but also acknowledging the fact that all the athletes don't all travel as one core group. They're all over, spread all over the world. So it's giving them all a chance to arrive in Paris in time for the opening ceremony. So it's a logistical thing as well.
Great talking with you, Orini. That's that. Let's set that aside and acknowledge that we're rock and rolling towards Paris. And, of course, we're looking at the unfolding situation with Three and News Hub and our staff. Talk to us about how you've been affected too by these changes, Orini, or colleagues of yours.
Yeah, it's not the correct word is it's hard not to feel emotional about what's happening across the media landscape, especially because I'm only fresh out of, you know, out of my mahi, out of that career, away from News Hub and you know, the decisions, the announcements that have been made recently around the closing down of News Hub, you know, the cancellation of, you know, programs that I, you know, admired and loved watching and loved supporting across that TVNZ and our stuff. I just feel a lot of aroha for everyone, and those who have lost their mahi, who are now, you know, looking or concerned in limbo, really. A lot of my friends are in limbo as to what to do now, where to go now, you know, especially when you've carved your career for 30 years plus. It's not as simple as, oh, well, let's just go back onto, you know, job seekers and find something else. You know that Dale, and in a climate like this where, you know, for some, you're just starting out on your te ao Māori journey and you really just got that, you know, that sweet scent and taste of it, you know, this late in your career. But the fact that it was there and now the opportunity to carry on and progress that journey and share our stories and be part of the few, you know, our niche circle of Māori, real Māori journalists and Māori journalists covering Māori kaupapa from a uniquely Māori perspective, where the Māori voice is the dominant, you know, feature of Māori storytelling. To have that taken at this hour is, you know, gutting. I can't help but feel gutted for everybody and concerned about the landscape, the media landscape, in terms of holding those in power to account, especially now. As you mentioned at the start of our interview, Dale, you know, the political climate is quite volatile, for want of a better word. But, yeah, it's quite tough times.
Well, you're standing strong too. Our thoughts with you and your colleagues. It's very uncomfortable and disappointing what has occurred. But life rolls on, Ordini. I'm sure we'll crisscross paths too going forward in a broadcasting sense. But all the best with the mahi. And travelling to Paris. Thanks very much for sharing some kōrero with our peeps about that mahi today at Te Tuhine Mauriora.
Ngā
manaaki tanga kia koe. Thank you.
Aye.
Orini kaipara. I'm going to play a French song.